I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Hello, friends. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Lamorne.
And I'm Hannah.
And this is our show. The show.
I don't think I'm ever going to get used to saying my name like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Just be cool.
Can we, Zoe, do you know, you know everybody?
Sometimes they say that.
You do, and it's a fact. Do you know Morgan Freeman?
No. Oh, well, I met him once at the James Corden show.
Okay, call him.
I don't have his number.
Text
he didn't
him.
Drop his phone number. he was like very much had no idea who I was in the world or otherwise, was like very perplexed by my energy. You know, like everybody's all on stage at the same time. It was Morgan Freeman, me, and Tim Roth, and it was a very interesting pairing. I was like, but Morgan Freeman seemed like very like, who is this person?
Who is this young person?
You guys, this watching this episode that we're about to talk about today, episode 3, Wedding. I've been looking forward to it so much ever since we like started talking about creating this podcast.
Oh my God. Yes. This is one of, I'm like, we might need to have a second session to talk more about it because I love this episode. This is one of my favorite episodes of all time.
Mm-hmm. You mean the wedding episode?
The wedding episode.
Written by Donick Cary and directed by Jason Weiner?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm not even in
two
it.
Superstars.
And I think we need two episodes.
Yeah. Hannah's not in this episode,
I'm not
by the way.
In it.
She's
oh my
so
God.
Excited.
For gushing.
In my mind, you were. I can't believe you weren't in this episode.
I wasn't in the episode, but I love this episode.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Donna Carey, great writer. And then Jason Weiner, who directed it, is fantastic. He really has a great style and very good energy. Superstar director.
And, you know, also superstar actor as well.
Oh, yeah. Weiner?
Jason Weiner was an actor. So when I saw Jason Weiner on set, I immediately went, wait, what? He's the director? I was like, that guy, I know I've seen him on television before. And
He was like a kid actor? Or?
I don't know if it was a kid actor, but I know he'd done some commercials.
Yeah.
Stand up, things like that. And I know he was on a television show.
Yeah, and he's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And he was hot off of Modern Family, which was still running while we're doing it, but he had done that pilot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So he was very in demand, and he made time to come and do this episode, which we were very lucky.
He had a
great like his style, which was like kind of unique to him, was like to keep everything in motion all the time. So it'd be like you'd have these kind of long scene sequences, and then one thing would lead, like everything would lead into the next scene, but like he would just like seamlessly marry each sequence, like each kind of mini scene in each sequence together with all this great blocking. And it definitely like had such a good energy to it this episode because of that. It really like lent itself, especially because everyone's going to this wedding. We're all excited. I think to set up the episode, if you haven't seen it in a while or have never seen it before, Nick and Schmidt and Lamorne have a friend from college who's getting married, and they've all been invited. And Jess has to go and pretend to be Nick's girlfriend to make his ex-girlfriend jealous, who he's still not really over, Caroline. And
Caroline.
And there's just so much fun stuff that happens in this episode. And it almost feels like a mini movie. This episode,
because you could take each storyline and then branch that off into its own entire episode.
You could have made a movie. Yeah, like you could have added like another hour of material, and this would have been a movie.
Yeah. We probably shot enough footage to turn it into a movie.
I kept saying when they were wanting to add extra episodes to the season, I'm like, we shot so much footage, make a crazy episode with like all the weird footage that we shot that they never
Memento,
cut in.
Like, where you just keep going back.
Yes.
Different memories.
That would have been
a good one.
Or an episode with just alts, like where they use the like alt jokes or the like, you know, all the improvs that everyone kind
same
of
episode, different
added.
Jokes.
Yes, same as episode, different jokes.
Can we pitch this to Fox? Hey guys, go back and redo every episode, but just use the alt jokes instead.
Someone has those hard drives with all the alts. So the kind of other storylines in this episode are that Winston is an usher, and he takes the job very seriously. He wants to do a really good job, but then when he gets there, there's a young boy who's also an usher and is competing for best usher with Winston. And it's really, really bothering him. And that kid was funny.
So funny. The dance, that moment in the dance-off where he just starts to like come at you. I was intimidated sitting on my couch. I was like, I would have backed off.
And I know like those, it's like, you know, those kids like that are like, they're like grown-ups in a kid's body. Like somehow that kid was like so poised. I don't know. He was so
a lot of confidence.
That kid was so, also, I will say this.
Such a pro.
He was a pro, but he was also so jacked on Mountain Dew. That kid was so funny. Like he would be like, I'd see him early in the morning. He'd have like a
drinking
clear
Mountain
cup.
Dew?
Drinking Mountain Dew. I'm like, what you got in your cup, man? He's like, Mountain Dew? How early is it? He's like, don't tell my mom.
Oh my God. That is
the crafty
so funny.
Truck, though, is where all of us behave like errant children. where it is very much don't tell your mom.
What's funny is the first season they would put like this trail mix, you know, that trail mix that had like M&Ms, and you'd be like, I'm eating something healthy.
Yes.
But it has like a bunch of M&Ms in it. And I would just pick out the M&Ms and eat just those. But what's funny is they had the same trail mix for like 7 years. By our last season, I was like, I don't ever want to see that trail mix again. Yeah. And it didn't break down my willpower. It actually like I was overexposed to that trail mix so much that I no longer was like weakened to it. It was actually great. Like I never want to look at that trail mix
again. You'd had your lifetime fill.
I did. So we're going to go to a little bit of a break to hear about some of Hannah and Lamorne's favorite products.
Because Zoe doesn't use products.
I don't use products. I self-generate. What does that mean? No, we're going to hear about some products that we're going to tell you about.
That's right.
Break time.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans, and yet there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing
right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top
of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
Okay, we're back and we're talking about season one, episode three of New Girl, and it's the wedding episode.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Last time on New Girl, episode 103, wedding. Nick is nervous about seeing his ex Caroline at a friend's wedding, so he convinces Jess to pretend to be his girlfriend. After Schmidt helps Jess perfect the perfect sexy girl out of the cat house look, Jess still wants to be her goofy self and wear fake hillbilly teeth. Meanwhile, Winston, feeling distance from the superstar he was in Latvia, is determined to be the best usher to ever ush. Winston ends up in a competition with a child at the wedding that leads to an embarrassing dance-off for Winston. While Jess starts off strong, as Nick states, Nick can't resist the lure of Caroline. In the end, he's crushed when he learns Caroline has a boyfriend. The roommates learn it's better to dance barefoot with your friends than chase after your ex. Now, back to the show.
Can I just say, well, the thing that, like, it's so funny watching the show again, and then now we're way in the future where this, like, show is all done and wrapped up, because the cold open starts with you, Zoe, saying, it's our first wedding. And I was like, oh. Because our show, it became like this thing where we did at least
you were in most of them.
A season. Mm-hmm. Cece got married a lot.
Hannah, yeah, Cece was, yeah, you were always doing wedding dress fittings.
Yeah, but it was such an, it was like a sweet moment because it was like the innocence of the characters and also yeah. probably for you guys to go like, ooh, a fun wedding episode. This yeah. would be a fun one.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah. There are other things about the Winston character that became new, and then you could see later on where they started. This was the beginning of his weird job timeline. You know, Winston has had a lot of jobs. Like,
and also you like Bubbles.
Bubbles.
I was like, that was the 100%. Other part. That was the beginning of like Winston's yes. like weird likes and dislikes.
The confessions exactly. of the weirdness.
Last episode was the Save the Best for Last, Vanessa Williams. Now this episode, Bubbles, right? So let's just mark
we're tracking
that.
It.
Let's marked. Track that. Bubbles. He's an usher and he takes it seriously because he really wants a job.
Yeah. So I was going to just quickly run off Schmidt's storyline, which we had the great pleasure of having a wonderful actor, Natasha Lyonne, who is Ooh. Absolutely amazing, so funny.
Oh yeah.
I went to summer camp with her, you guys.
Really?
Yes, but she didn't know me. Well, she didn't know me. She was kind of like a star. So I went to this summer camp in upstate New York when I from the time I was like 10 to 18 or something, 10 to 17. And it was like a theater camp, but like she'd already done professional work at that point because she'd been in like Dennis the Menace or something.
Oh.
And she was the star of the camp. So you'd go in, like they had a poster of her movie in the office of the camp. Like anytime you know, and everybody like, Natasha Lyonne is here. She was in Dennis the Menace. And I remember I saw her. She didn't know me. I was very much not famous, but it was nice to, you know, talk to her about the old summer camp days when she was on our episode of New Girl. She is so hilarious.
I could just imagine her tossing a cigarette, like smoking a cigarette while you're talking about summer camp. It's just,
oh my
just
God.
Like the good old yeah. days, Zoe. And then she throws the cigarette at you.
And I was like,
away.
Oh, ow, that hurt. Sorry.
Never forget summer camp.
No, she is so funny, and she was like so great in this character, this role, Gretchen. And you know what? Like a better match for Schmidt.
Oh yeah.
We also got to see a lot of those weird things that then became character traits for Schmidt that felt a little surprising, like his oddities, like clip-on earrings. It also is the episode where he introduced the knowledge, the backstory of him being Fat Schmidt in college.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how he's known. And they laid the groundwork for that, too. They did so
and
much.
And Katie Cassidy also played.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the name of the girl that he's obsessed with? But she's great.
Brooke.
Brooke. Yeah. Yeah. She's great, too. Mm-hmm.
The fear she had in her eyes.
Very scared when I held the knife to her.
You were kind of scary.
I have to say, like, there were so many of my, like, favorite antics that I got to play that were so fun in this episode, like from the chicken dance to like wielding a knife to the teeth, the like running joke of getting Caroline's name wrong. There were just a lot of fun kind of just set pieces that I really appreciated. That's what those are set pieces, right? I'm trying to use lingo.
It is also such like a pro way to neg somebody, right? To sit there and to take the simplest name and to intentionally just get it a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, when you guys have done the bit and then the whole conversation happens and right at the end, you're like, bye, Carol. It was like, I was dying. I was like, that's pro. That's
Carol-y?
Pro.
Carol-y?
Oh, I give up. That was a good line. I was like, this was like, you know, we definitely in this show had the opportunity to improvise a lot. And there were definitely a lot that ended up in the show and added a lot of fun and, you know, kind of colorful, you know, detours from the script as written. But I have to say, it's like, I recall that this episode was like so perfectly written that it just, I remember just it having such a great flow from like the beginning that it felt like the script was just so fantastic.
Here's my question, and I guess maybe Weiner will remember because I'm excited to talk to him.
Will he?
I wonder if he'll remember
a lot of television.
But he's got a really interesting like brain, how it works remembering it. And if not, maybe we can take a text Johnson and ask, because one of the funniest lines in last night, and I was like, did he improvise this, is when he goes into the photo booth and there's two girls outside and one of them is wearing an orange dress and he's like, I want to be a wild orange. And I was like,
that's gotta be a Jake thing.
Orange.
That's probably Jake. I thought possibly the drunk, because Jake is probably the best drunk. I've worked with like a lot of great actors. I think Jake does the best drunk person of anyone. And I don't want to know how he's gotten to the point where he's so
I can tell you why. Jake drinks a lot. He's drunk often.
He's a real actor. He does the method approach.
So he does the best drunk of any actor I've ever seen. And a lot of times the improvisational moments that come out of that are really great. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that stuff where he's talking to the cardboard cutout. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there was a lot of those improvised. Like, I think the thing about the dress was written, but I think him being like, your dad's rich and you're a lawyer, dude. And that, like, I think he definitely improvised a fair amount of that, but I could be wrong. I'm not totally sure.
It felt
there were moments that in this show that people thought were improvised that were not, and then, you know, vice versa. But that script was just so airtight from the beginning. I have to say,
the great thing about the writers though is that the writers they knew we would improvise a lot, so a lot of times they weren't so. Unless you're the Schmidt character with some of his very intricate asides and some of the things that he would say, they were like, put it in your own words. So we'd have a perfectly laid out template of something that's beautifully written already, and then you could just get loose and a few takes in, and then you improvise stuff within those lines. So even the scripted stuff felt improvised.
Yeah, sometimes saying something, just adding a little bit, you know, even changing something a little bit just makes it sound more natural because it's coming out like, you know, you might say it the way that, you know, feels comfortable to you. So, yeah, I mean, it was very nice that we had a set that was kind of loose in that way where they let us improvise and, you know, sometimes it's just letting the actors improvise a little bit allows them to loosen up enough that they make the written words sound, you know, more natural as well.
Have you all, have you, any of you ever done an improvised movie?
I've done movies that were like 50% improvised, but there's always been like a script. I haven't done one of those ones where they just have an outline and you just like totally improvise it. But yeah. I've done ones where we've rehearsed, improvised whole scenes, then written them down, mm-hmm. then mm. shot those scenes and improvised more in the moment. But there were always like, there were always scripts to go along right. with it so that there's a structure to the story. But
yeah, same. What about you, Lamorne?
I don't think so. Well, because I mean, like in the process of doing one, or coming up with ideas for one, and I always get nervous once I start thinking about, even though I improvise a lot and everything that I do, it has to have a element of improv in it, but an entire film is it, and you're like, ah, shit.
It sounds like less work, but it I think like, it's yeah. way more work.
Oh yeah, because you're as do. An actor, you're forced to not forced, but you truly have to be.
You're writing a movie,
the moment, and in the character.
Completely. I think you also. I think that that's like, I think you either need like extensive rehearsals where everyone gets extremely familiar with their character, the other characters, like. Those dynamics and then there's, you know, the situations that come out of those and extensive outlining, or it needs to be set modern day and people are basically playing, you know, themselves or a version of themselves, where it's like easy to just jump in and you're like, oh, I'm playing Zooey Deschanel. Okay. That's right. pretty easy for me, you know, or a heightened version of myself. That would be easy. If I'm playing like, you know, 1850s debutante. I don't know. I'm making stuff up. If I'm playing like
vampire
a queen,
assassin.
And I mean, if I'm playing a vampire assassin who just rose from the dead, I'm gonna have to like do a little exploration to figure out, you know, and I'm improvising it. I'm gonna have to do a little bit of rehearsal or exploration to kind of figure out how that, you know, is gonna work.
Which is probably why on our show, they the one thing I will say that folks gravitate to the most on our show is our chemistry. You know, we genuinely like each other. We're genuinely friends. We spend so much time on set with each other. So improvising isn't very hard to do. Not very hard to do at all. I already know if I say, if I make up this dumb line, I know the reaction you guys are going to give. Mm. And I am anticipating that. And then that can help push the scene forward. And you guys know what reaction that you're looking for when you say what you say in response. So
it was a very easy. Generous set, right? Where I feel like everybody standalone is like a good actor. Say that. It's always weird to like compliment yourself as a good actor, but there was like a everybody made everybody else look so good. Mm-hmm. Because even if it was just like a weird bit or something, like everybody kind of like lifted that up and supported it and made it funnier. And that's a really nice, safe space to live in. Especially when you're doing like a long series. And that's also like a sign of like, like really kind, generous acting.
I have to say, because you really are only so good as the actor you're working with. And it really was like, I've always felt comfortable. I never was like, I could see a situation where, you know, since you kind of end up with different characters, different actors in every episode, you know, spending more time with those people, I could, you know, like I could see maybe on another show, people being like, oh, I got paired with that person. I have to say, like, this show was like, I always felt comfortable, you know, like I was going to have a great time and have a great experience working with like any one of the actors. And I have to say, shout out to our casting department for always getting such amazing guest stars. Anya Koloff was our casting director. And oh my gosh, always just like really bringing in people that really could hold their own and be hilarious. So whether it was like, you know, a great, you know, character actor or a famous person coming in like Natasha Lyonne, they always just had amazing ideas and just brought, you know, so much intelligence and creativity to the show. So shout out.
Yes.
Anya Koloff and Mike Niccolo.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mike. Yeah. Mike Niccolo.
And Jessica.
The other thing that I always want to say when I watched last night, and I was like, God, it's so smart. Yes, the writing is so smart. The story is so smart. The directing was so smart on that episode. But it was something you did, Zoe, where I was like, oh, this just explains also why in moments that are separated from the job that we haven't seen you do yet, right? We know you're a teacher. You've said it. But we have no idea, are you a good teacher or a bad teacher? And there's this moment that happens in this episode where you're like, oh, she's a great teacher. And it's because of how kind and how you speak and allow him to express his emotions. you are with drunk Nick in the photo booth. And I was like, I was watching it and I'm like, yes, you can read this as like, oh, something's going to happen there. Will they, won't they? Oh, she's like a really good friend. I was like, no, she's used to dealing with petulant children. And she's really good at giving them space to feel their feelings. But we're not going to live in the photo booth. So, honey, you're going to come out and it's going to be okay. And I was like, oh, this is where you learn. She's a great teacher and great at her job of how she's handling this drunk man crying in a photo booth.
That's super sweet. Yeah, this character, it's really funny because looking back on it, I was like, wow, it's kind of like a bold character to like have be the, you know, like be like one of the stars of the show. I think like in a lot of ways, like this character is kind of like what you might think of as like annoying. and I'm like, I so appreciate because she's a nerd. Like, she's a nerdy, hard on her sleeve person. And I just love that they took the chance and allowed this kind of weird character to be, you know, kind of the lead of the show. I mean, not the lead. Like, I mean,
the lead.
I think it like started out that way. Like, that's not like this show is 100% ensemble. But, you know, when they first were casting it, it was like about this character, you know, at least the first episode's kind of about this character. But then it becomes about all the characters. But but I just like that, you know, this character's kind of like, it can be a polarizing character. There are definitely people who are like, I hate this character, you know. But really, ultimately, she's a nice person and kind of weird and kind of nerdy. And I love that. I just love that this made it to like a populist audience and that it made it to, you know, into pop culture. And it's a person that I kind of, you know, appreciate different.
Well, we all appreciate it.
Aww.
We all appreciate the character.
There's a controversial moment that happens in this episode that people talk about.
Tell me.
And you can't say like sometimes. You have to fall on either side of the line.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Which is taking your shoes off and just having your bare feet hanging out for the world to see and deal with when you are kind of in a public shared space.
Me taking my shoes off?
It happens right when Winston and Jess have their shoes off, and their feet are up. I will say for myself, that was great. It makes sense. Weddings are tough. It's the end of the wedding. And your feet are sore and you take them off. But some people have a real aversion.
Really?
Yes.
That's really funny.
Really?
I always...
What about in an Asian household?
Yeah. Good callback to episode two. Ooh, Season one, episode two. Yeah, you know what? I didn't know about that controversy, but I often see, like, I've been now at this point, so many people take their shoes off at weddings that, like, I've been to a bunch of weddings where they bring socks or flip-flops for people to wear because, like, you go there thinking, like, I want to look hot, you know? Like, I want my legs to look long. And then you're like, my feet hurt.
Ouch.
I want to dance. I don't care how hot I look. I want to wear flip-flops or bare feet. And I appreciate that whole flip-flop and sock trend at weddings because my feet always hurt.
I feel like you and I were both at a Golden Globes party, Zoe, and this did not happen for the boys, I'm sure. You were at that party too, but it didn't happen in your bathroom.
And I didn't come there on a private plane like you two did.
Stop with the private plane.
We drove down the street.
We were in a car.
Yeah, private car.
But in the bathroom, they do. Were you at this party where they handed out flats, like these little fold up flats?
Oh,
yeah. Entertainment Weekly party.
It was one of those parties, and I remember being like. Thank you. It was the incel party. That's right.
I remember this years ago. It's like, this is a smart woman. Maggie Gyllenhaal, you know that she's a wonderful actress. Now she's a wonderful director. I saw her at a party and she was like, I don't know, it's Golden Globes or something. And she had a tiny clutch purse and she pulled out of this clutch purse the tiniest pair of fold up flats. And she was like, haha. And I was like, you are a genius. That is so smart. And I need to find those tiny flats.
would you guys go full Thomas Jane? You guys want to think about Thomas
What's that
Jane?
Mean? I'm so thinking Thomas, about him, but I don't remember anything about his feet.
he never wears shoes. He's always barefoot. Everywhere.
Oh, really?
Apparently he'll drive to set barefoot. He'll walk around the set barefoot. I've seen him. We used to be at the same agency. And I remember in the lobby waiting for my agent, and he comes in completely barefoot. And I thought, at first I thought it was just a rumor, but no, this dude walked in, no socks, no shoes.
Okay.
But some people have
Can
like
I talk to his mom? I just, because my kids Tetanus. During the pandemic were like, we're not wearing shoes anymore. Because they were at home so much. And they would just never put on shoes. And it's, you know, it's good for you to spend some of the day without, shoes. And so they ended up just being barefoot all the time and just getting used to that. And I remember distinctly as things were starting to open up and we were going somewhere kind of for the first time in a while. And I'm like, okay, guys, we're putting our shoes on. And they were like, shoes. Shoes? We don't want to wear shoes. And I'm like, you have to wear shoes. They're like, we never wear shoes. And I'm like, oh my God. This is gonna be a thing. And they still don't like putting on shoes. And I'm like, so I should talk to Thomas Jane's mom about
my kids are gonna
grow up and be like, full Thomas Jane. We're just gonna walk around. My thing with that is like, I think it's fine. But my thing with that is I don't really care. But I think it's weird, like walking around on the sidewalk. Like, what are you gonna find? You could step on a nail.
Step on a needle,
dog poop, like
hot
lots
coals.
Of bad stuff you don't want on your bare feet.
Like, what if
it's also
hot
like
everywhere?
The proximity to food? Like on an airplane, don't put your bare feet up next to me.
Oh
if
my
I'm like gonna eat. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? That's the thing, too. Like, you're in
bring some
you know,
socks.
Like,
that's what socks are for.
Yeah, why? Like, nobody...
But also, yeah, when you're on a plane, like that's happened when someone will stick their feet in between the thing.
What you doing?
I genuinely want to, like, cut someone's Achilles, when their tendon. Just when that happens, I just want to go snip. Like, that's
you know
so...
what it makes me think of? It's that famous line from Dirty Dancing in the pilot also. Where she goes like, this is my dance space. This is your dance space. Like on an airplane. I'm like, that's your seat.
Keep Still haven't seen
your bare
that movie.
Feet. Oh, it's so good.
Dirty.
It's good. It's quite sad though.
Dirty Dancing. It's called Dirty.
Just be prepared. Dancing.
Dirting Dancy.
Double D.
Yeah. Dirting Dancy.
Dirting Dancy. That's my favorite movie.
That's we know correct. It well. We
yeah,
know it
look
well.
It up online. You'll definitely find some stuff about it. I agree with you guys. Don't put your feet in my space.
Not in my space, especially if there's food near me. That's like now we had a problem zone, but it was the end of the wedding in this episode.
Take off your shoes at the wedding. I don't care.
Yeah. Great. Dance the night away.
Do it.
Yeah. Especially
unless,
if the wedding. unless the wedding is on a plane.
Yeah. We talk about dancing at weddings end of the night.
And also, don't get married on a plane.
Has anyone ever done that before? Got married?
I'm sure. I mean, anything you can think of has happened for
it's
sure.
It's all been done.
Yeah. Especially
unless it's
private,
magic.
Like you.
And then maybe.
Unless it's.
Here's a good one. Have any of you ever had to pretend to be someone's significant other to help them out?
Okay. So in college, I went to like a lot of these like fraternity formals, like with friends, you know? And then I thought like later that maybe they were pretending I was their girlfriend. They're like, you want to go to this formal with me? I'm like, oh, sure. As friends, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like you get on the bus and they're like putting their arm around you and you're like, no, that's not what this is.
What? Kissing my neck for?
Nope.
It was a fly.
Get out.
I eat flies. I'm a frog.
This is not what we agreed to.
Next thing you know, we're getting married. And it's weird, right?
Like, wait, why is there a judge here?
Sign what? No. What certificate is this?
Have you, Lamorne, ever pretended to be someone's significant other?
No, I've pretended to be interested when I was in a relationship, though. Well, I'm kidding, I'm joking. When I completely was not. No.
Confusing for no reason.
Yes. No, so you know, I don't think
leading someone on. That's a different category of a conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's another episode. Another episode. No, I don't think I've ever done... I don't think I've ever done anything like that. But like you said, Zoe, I've probably been in those situations before because I know I've been on dates, like dates, and then you mm-hmm. get to the place that you're going to. And this happened, actually, not dates, but one. This happened one time. I go to a party, some like music event, and the girl that I was dating she knew her ex-boyfriend was going to be there, who was a musician. And
name names. Who is the musician?
I'm not gonna name names. I'm not gonna name Bruno Mars. No, I'm kidding. I go to this party and she's like, you could see that she's always like positioning herself in like eye line of someone. And I started putting two and two together because I had completely forgotten that this person was her ex. And then I noticed like later on down the line, like them talking an awful lot. We broke up right after that because they end up getting back together.
You served your purpose.
I served my purpose. I'm so glad and happy for them. You know, nothing but joy.
You sound very joyful.
Joey, let me tell you, I'm happy as F. Okay.
All right.
Nothing's gonna get me down.
We don't have to talk about it anymore.
No. It's fine, Zoe. Okay. How about you just lay off of it? Okay. I'm happy and excited for them.
I'm off of it.
Shit.
You okay?
Lamorne's gonna take a second. We're gonna take a break now and tell you about some products that we all use.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
We're coming back. Oh, thank you for telling about us about all those products and things and experiences.
Yes. I love free vacations.
Tell us.
So I do have this idea of always wanting to be like the superhero friend to someone. Like, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked about wanting to be the girl that has like the tampon in the bag for.
Except you don't want to leave your house at the same time.
That's right. It's all in my head. First of all, just understand these are like these are.
So you just want people to come
mine.
To you for tampons, right?
There's gonna be a line up outside my door.
I'm just driving over to Hannah's house across town. Just get a tampon.
Yeah, pick up.
She always has them.
And that was the nice thing about this episode is it's framed in that way. Like Jess does a solid for Nick and like shows up and she's like, I'm gonna like. Go as far with this as you know. As
I'm not
going to
be myself.
That's right. I'm going to do all of that just for you because I'm a good friend and I see you need the help. And so it happened to me once, but it's like what you guys are saying without my knowledge. So there was this guy and he was like a nice person. He was fine.
Name names.
I don't remember his name. It was so long
it was
ago.
Bruno Mars.
Bruno?
He's such a nice guy. I actually don't know him, but I assume he is.
And I'll never forget, like, I would text him and be like, what are you up to? And he was always at the Abbey, which is a very well-known gay bar here in LA. And he was always with his buddy, this one guy. And he'd be like, oh, my buddy is a mess. And so, like, I took him home, put him in the shower. I'm just putting him to bed.
What?
Okay. So I was like, I think I understand the context of what's happening in your life. Cool. And then he invited me to dinner one night. And I was like, sure. Okay, we'll go to dinner. Like, we're friends. Cool. We go. I did not realize that it was like Valentine's weekend. And we get to, what's that steakhouse called? Mastro's?
Mm-hmm. Mastro's.
Yeah. We get there. So it's
fancy.
A very nice, fancy restaurant.
So expensive.
And we walk in and his parents... who are from somewhere in the Midwest, have flown in and are sitting there. And he's there. And we're like, and hello? Like, okay. And his brother's there. And his brother looks at me with like the biggest eye roll I've ever seen and just orders like a couple bottles for the table. Like, this is going to be a show. And I'm like, what's happening? And all of a sudden, this guy puts his arm around me and is like chatting. And the mom, about half an hour to dinner, just starts sobbing, crying from happiness that she has to go sit out on the curb in Beverly Hills. And I have to go down and console her and be like, everything's okay. She's just like, I'm so happy. You're so sweet. This is so beautiful. I can't believe he's found you. And I was like, he hasn't found anything. He hasn't found me. Oh my gosh. And so I made it through dinner. I told them that.
Why didn't he warn me? Here's the thing.
He never told me a word.
He never said like, hey, listen.
Nuh-uh.
This is the situation we're walking into.
No, he told them like our origin story. It's like, I met her here. She's so beautiful. She's so kind. And he's like saying all this stuff, had his arm around the back of my chair. Like, obviously had to sell this thing hard. And I realized what was happening. And I was like, all right, we're going to go. But then here, when his mother started hysterically crying, and then the dad got really drunk because I don't think he was fully buying it. And then the brother was like laughing. I was like, I think I've done a solid hour of that tall seafood tower that, you know, I was like, I got to go. I'm like, blessings. Play this out as long
as you
need
dessert?
To.
No, I'm good without. Thank you
very much. I would like to go. So I kind of did it for somebody, but Brosif did not give me the memo.
Since?
Never. I backed away from that situation. And I also had served my purpose. It's not like we talked a bunch after
Yeah,
that.
He didn't call to thank you. I actually remember, this is a totally separate story, but kind of similar. In high school, my friend, we used to go trick-or-treating together. And I was like, I was a little bit of a nerd. Like, I wasn't like going out and doing cool stuff. I was like, yeah, I'm going trick-or-treating when I was like 15. And so I was like, she was supposed to come over to my house. And then she called me like last minute and was like, hey, you know, she said she was going to go on a date instead. This guy had asked her out and she really liked him. And I was like, okay, it's cool. I was kind of disappointed because, you know, that was my plan for Halloween. And otherwise I would have made a different plan. And then like, I just have a normal night. And then at like 10 at night, her mom calls and asks to speak to her. And I'm like, wait, what? She's, and I'm like, hold on one second. And I'm like, because my mom was there. I'm like, mom, so-and-so, I'm not going to say their name. So-and-so's mom's on the phone and she's wondering where she is. What do I tell her? She's like, tell her the truth. She's not here. And then it turned out she told her mom she was hanging out with me because I was a very like, all moms loved me. Like every mom loves me. Because I'm like, I don't do anything bad. And she had told her mom that she was hanging out with me still. And she'd gone out with this guy and didn't tell her mom. So I kind of was set up in a similar way.
That's the whole premise for Mayor of Easttown.
But then, yeah, but right? So the whole, the funny thing
something
was
bad
that
happens to that girl.
Right. Well, the thing about my friend was she actually went to like an all night rave or something, not a date. I thought she was just like going out to dinner with some guy. So I was like, you could have like given me a heads up. That
right.
You told your mom you were like spending the night at my house, and I had no idea. All I knew that was that she had canceled plans.
Yeah, so we're anyway. Blindsided. This is what we're trying to say, people: is you can get blindsided.
This is called what happens when you're in 10th grade.
That happened to me once, and really quickly, I'll share this story. But it happened. A buddy of mine, he had a fake ID in high school, and I remember he used to brag about it. And the name, I'm not going to say the name on it because I don't want to put him. Out there, but
McLovin,
he was from Hawaii. No, I remember his really early in the morning getting a call from his parents, like, have you seen such and such? And I was like, what? And he had told his mom that he was spending the night. And so, which anybody who knows me, like, no one ever spent the night at my place, like, that just was never a thing in high school. And so, I was like, that's really weird. And then two other buddies called me. Hey, have you seen such and such? I'm like, wait, what the hell? We put two and two together after some detective work. We start driving around this little town looking for motels and looking for his car. And we found his car outside of a motel. And we go to the front, we ask for him. They say there's no person here under that name. And then we realize you got to be 25, I think, at that time to rent, to get a hotel room. And he was not. We were definitely 17. And so I thought, oh, crap, fake ID. What was the fake ID's name? And then we
John
said, bingo.
Smith.
Said John Smith or whatever. And we go. He goes, yep, that person's here. And they tell us his room number.
Oh,
we
my
God. We go in his room. We bang on the door, and one of our other buddies just kicks the door really hard. The door opens. There is my buddy, butt naked on a bed.
At 17?
At 17. Losing his virginity. It was insane. It was really, really
goodness.
No.
Couldn't he have done this in a less dramatic way? Like, did he need to spend the entire night in the
seat of a car
hotel
for a reason?
Whole night.
That's just not smart.
You went to the room. You did the whole. That one was.
He wanted to make it romantic, okay?
And he did. He did. It was.
He
special
did.
For the both
it ended in an unromantic way, but
yes,
he started out.
like the Hardy Boys. Should we play?
Let's wait. Yeah,
people play mind games with us. Should we now play our own game?
Yeah, let's Hannah, tell you about playing? True American.
American.
Welcome to True American, where the rules change weekly and you leave more confused than when you showed up. This week, we are playing a game called Who Wore It Best? In today's episode, the Loft crew attends the first of many weddings. Mm. We're going to revisit some of the most notable weddings in history. And we're going to guess who wore which dress, because our producer, Joelle, is going to show us some pictures of dresses.
Yeah. And before we get gowns. Into that, I just want to say I hated what I was wearing in this episode. I was wearing
the
baggiest
suit. Oh, you looked great.
I was wearing a suit from the Steve Harvey collection when it first came out. Massively baggy suit. I was not okay with
it
that.
Didn't
everybody
look
else
baggy.
Looked
baggy. No, no. I thought you looked good. You were like a cream colored suit. I thought you looked very sharp.
Yeah, if my uncle was wearing it.
You were an usher, okay?
Yeah.
So
you had to ush the shit out of that wedding.
Ush the shit. I look like I smoked cigarettes in between breaks.
You were
like,
one of Usher's old
Usher's first suit. I was wearing the LeBron James suit when he got drafted in the NBA. Just massive, massive suit.
You look like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
All okay. right, let's look at some wedding dresses. Ooh, who wore this? There's
Whoa,
a kid.
Okay, so there's like lots of drawings. It looks like her kid's drawings all over the gown.
Just a little boy, Taylor. He's a tailor. This kid is the tailor for this
dress. I thought I would know all of these, and
I was
don't
so
know.
Ready to say Princess Diana. I was just
I know,
like
me
so
too.
Ready to say that iconic
I
gown.
Got nothing.
But I, you know what? I do remember this moment. I do remember somebody had their kid. Yes, I do remember the moment, but I can't remember who. That they had,
is
they took
like,
their kids' drawings and they put it on the dress, and that's like the graphic print all over. So
it's
I remember
a very
the moment.
Skinny person. They're
very tiny,
slender.
Yeah.
So is it a model like Kate Moss or something like that?
And the kid is very beautiful, little
beautiful
kid.
Child.
Beautiful child.
No.
Oh, it could be. What is it? Angelina Jolie?
It is
Angelina Jolie.
Oh,
yes. That does look like little Shiloh Pitt. Is that Shiloh?
I believe it is.
I don't know the names of anyone's children.
I only know that because my mom said that that's the name she wanted to give me, Shiloh. And so
after
initially,
the Neil Diamond
yes!
song?
Love that's
it.
Right.
Whoa.
Okay. That was a tough one. Next one. Ooh, this is beautiful. Who is that?
Solange.
Ding.
Oh my God.
It's Solange?
Good one.
Oh. That's you can tell by the
I love
wristbands.
That dress.
I could tell by the pose.
Okay.
That's true. She's very put together.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh. This Kate is Queen, Queen Elizabeth II.
Older.
Oh, really? Queen Victoria?
Ding.
Okay.
Whoa! We each have a point.
Let me just ask you a question, Zoe.
Yes, thank
How
you.
How the fuck do you know?
I like history.
and the dresses that come with it.
Yeah. No, well, I'm looking at the cut of the dress. It just looks Victorian. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful dress.
He popularized wearing white for your wedding. This is the first white wedding gown.
Whoa.
It's a nice day for a white wedding.
It's what she played as she walked down the aisle.
You mean like all the new girl weddings? Ba-doom-psh. Sorry.
This is a very pretty dress.
It is very pretty.
We're seeing so much more of like her like neck hair. You'd think we would be able to guess this easier
because we have
more clues.
Blonde person who's also very thin.
Yeah. Very pretty dress.
Is that Kate Moss? I'm just gonna keep guessing Kate Moss for everything.
Kate Moss's wedding. Right era.
Ooh.
Oh, Giselle.
Is it a supermodel like a Claudia Jewel. Schiffer, a Heidi Klum?
No, it can't be Heidi Klum.
Why? Oh, because it would be Seal's hand?
It'd be a dark hand holding it.
That could be her daddy walking her down the aisle.
Oh, that's true.
Could be.
I'm going to go with.
How is this the stumper?
Because it's very. It's a traditional dress, and there's nothing crazy
and
there's
nothing like about it that's like really sending me strong this person vibe.
That's true.
The way I put sentences together doesn't always make sense, but we give up.
Is this person a model? This person is a model.
This is an actress who sometimes models, but mostly known for acting.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Correct.
Whoa. Yes.
That's good.
A beautiful dress. Beautiful lady, beautiful dress. Ooh, okay.
Oh, the queen from Game of Thrones.
Cleopatra.
Much more modern.
Much more modern?
Yeah.
Well, Cleopatra is like ancient Egypt. Almost
like century.
I feel like now
talk.
It's going to be like, you know, the Dua Lipa or something.
No, this is the most recent century.
Yeah, the century before the one we're currently in.
Oprah.
Stop it.
That's just rude.
How?
Well, she's not been married.
Oh,
don't you know anything? Stedman and Oprah are not married.
Yeah. Stedman were married. Her and Gail are her and Stedman. Her and Gail have been together for so long. Let's stop.
They're
now.
Best friends.
They're best.
Please know more about Oprah.
Yeah, go get an education.
And then come back
go to school
informed.
I love Oprah. I did not know her marital status.
When she comes on our show as a guest, I'm just putting it out there.
She's a big
I like
fan.
Her. She's a, big fan of our
She's a big fan.
Podcast.
She DMs Huge. Me every once in a while.
First to rate, subscribe, Oprah.
Okay, this is a wedding? This feels like, This is interesting.
Angelina
I'll
Jolie.
I'll give you another hint. It's a major actress from the early part of the 1900s.
Sarah Bernhardt.
After her.
Audrey Hepburn.
Not Audrey Hepburn.
Before
I know
her
wedding
but
dresses.
Not by much.
Before Audrey Hepburn,
it's
a great Catherine
Hepburn.
There
Catherine Hepburn.
Go.
I was gonna guess that, but then it didn't feel like her vibe to
Does
me.
Does not.
Can I just say what a mistake
I
she
need
made
to
wearing
see
that?
See her in that dress.
Yeah, I
don't need
dress.
To see her. In
I
that
don't
dress.
Love that dress. It's weird, but. I thought I would, but no.
That dress looks like you could throw a sword
We're
at
just
it.
Tearing Catherine Hepburn's dress apart.
Well, she ain't
you
here
know,
to defend herself.
No, it's her wedding.
But that dress could defend her. That thing looks like it's covered in chains.
It does
and
look
chained.
It does look comfortable. It.
You know what? I'm gonna say yeah. She.
It's a caftan.
It is a caftan. It's a. It's a. It's
Teflon
a beautiful mix between a. Chainmail and caftan. That's also
silly.
Very popular wedding style.
Ooh, okay. No woman in the dress. It's
Black
just
Swan.
A hanger. Last
Ooh.
One.
Black Swan.
It's like a beautiful poofy ballerina dress.
That's
you really
dress.
You stumped Cinderella. Us, Joelle. These are good. Good.
Oh, goodness. This is
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I would wear this dress. This is beautiful. I love this
it's
dress.
Beautiful.
Where is this dress? Where's the origin of this dress?
I know. Ladder.
Ladder.
The picture with a ladder, and I say the ladder's getting married. to the hangar.
I can tell you this is a sports star's dress.
Serena Williams.
Yes.
Oh, whoa! My God.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a beautiful dress.
It's gorgeous.
Beautiful dress. I love this dress. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that dress is insane.
The photo of it, though, with a ladder in the background to release that as the picture of your dress, though, does beg some questions.
Well, she's got to get on the ladder to jump into the dress.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She's very athletic, so
that's okay. It's okay all right. for her. I'll take it. I'll take it.
All right, guys. I think that's another episode of our amazing show that we have never named.
I have to give it up. I'm surprised with Lamorne. I have to give it up, man. You guessed a lot of wedding dresses.
Yeah, especially for a guy who don't want to be married.
And especially for a guy who says he doesn't like fashion, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate fashion. I think fashion is stupid. Okay.
I think last time you were just like, we were like, you look good always, Lamorne. And you're like, that's because somebody dresses me.
He spends all his free time studying wedding dresses.
It's true.
Celebrity wedding dresses takes up all his time.
Look, I love fashion. I just would love some coaching, okay? I would need the help of you all on this panel with me today, as well as the fans. Please put together something lovely for me.
Hannah and I will 100% pick out an outfit for you. I don't know if you'll like it, but we will, and you will wear it.
I am not wearing polka dots.
You're wearing polka dots. How'd you know?
It's going to be a polka dot onesie.
Okay, what about Swiss dot? Swiss dot.
Swiss dots? What is that?
It's like a light fabric with little tiny, delicate dots. Well,
as long as it makes my shoulders look broad, then I'm good.
It won't. No? Okay. It'll make you look feminine as me.
I have to hold my hand up for a second and confess, because I am someone who loves to count weird things when I'm watching shows. Mm-hmm. Do with that information what you will. But I was so excited because I've heard this myth of where's the bear New Girl episodes. And I spotted it and heard it in the pilot. And last week with episode 2, and then this one is episode 3. I have not been on my job. So next week.
Spotting the bear?
Yes.
Are we going to talk about the... We'll go back and look
at them
again.
I'm going to watch 2 and 3 again.
You do that because I'm not going to do it.
It's my job. I got it. Don't worry. I got
and
you.
And Lamorne's
I got you.
Not going to do it.
And okay, I know what the bear is in the next 4. One. I know the bear is in the next one.
You know
one.
It in 4?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the bear list. Denier amongst all. I'm going to be like, no. There's no bear.
Does it count if someone says the word unbearable?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. What counts as a bear? Let's define those rules. And when we reconvene, we will talk about it.
I'm going to have the rules for the bear spotting, what it has to be.
That's
and
your homework.
I'm going to say if I can find it in 2 and 3. Okay. I will bring that to the next episode.
And I just want to thank everybody for listening. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, because 5 is Lamorne's favorite number.
It's not, though.
It's the luckiest number.
It's 21. Give us 21 stars.
5's Hannah's favorite number, and she really wants you to give us 5 stars, and so do I. So, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zooey Deschanel, performed and produced by Zooey Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at Welcome to Our Show Podcast @gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.